Now, whether we like it or not, young people tend to be the ones driving innovation in social media, but how early should they be allowed to get at it? Well, Andy Robertson, who blogs as Geek Dad, has been listening in. He's at the Greenbelt Festival near Cheltenham. I wonder what you think of aiming something like that, Andy, at children as young as four.
Well, I think apps like Melee, they need to tailor their functionality, as we were hearing there, and they do quite a good job of that. But the positive side of this for me is that the more of these sort of things there are, the more opportunities there are for families to engage together in the technology. So rather than having to sort of fight their way through perhaps email systems that are designed for adults, they can use things like Melee, but use that as a platform for having conversations about it together rather than just letting the kids go off and do it on their own.
But didn't families happily engage together before anything like that came along?
Yeah, I don't think this is a replacement for communicating in the same place, but I think the nature of technology, particularly on these iPad type devices, tablet devices, is that one person's using it at a time, and it can be hard to see. So if you've got something where a parent can come to it with a child and use it together, and the child is engaged as well, then there's going to be more opportunity to talk through the sorts of issues and how you as a family decide to use it.
As I hinted at the start of this, we know children are using the likes of Facebook even when they're officially too young to do so. What else is out there that they can legitimately use?
Yeah, there are a range of sort of Facebook type services for younger people. There's IMB, What Scuttlepad. There's one I particularly like called Everloop, which is aimed at 8 to 13-year-olds. And it means that, unlike Facebook, a second person, the parent who set the account up, has to approve friends and sharing of information and images and things like that, although the children can still post their own statuses. So there's a much better way to sort of overview what your child's doing online. Although, again, I think really the best way to do that is to use these services with them and not just send them off using them as if they're completely safe.
Sure, but I mean, if you do the latter, you're pretty confident that the ones that you've referred to, and indeed what we were discussing with Raphael Albertal a moment ago, they are safe and secure.
I think they are safe and a good starting point, but it's really about educating children and so that they're aware of the sorts of issues and sorts of things they need to be doing in this sort of environment.
There's an element of education parents here as well, of course, isn't there? I mean, some may not realise, for example, the extent to which games and games platforms allow social networking even now.
Yes, that's right. I mean, most video game consoles, for instance, enable players to communicate with other players online and share images and have conversations. And those consoles, like Xbox 360 and PlayStation, they'll provide parental controls so that you can go and set them. But parents need to know that they're there and they need to go and set them up. Once they're set up, I think they're really positive. But I think maybe more needs to be done to make parents aware that they need to go and do that.
Let me talk more about games, because one of the recent changes that has come in on video games is a new ratings system. It's something called PEGI, which stands for Pan-European Games Information System. What does it mean in practice? What's actually changed here?
Well, it used to be a split system in the UK, so it used to be PEGI and BBFC putting badges on games to say what age appropriateness was for each title, but since the 30th of July that's become a single system. So for parents that's a really positive step, I think, because there's a lot less conflict in information on game boxes, and it's a great opportunity to look at those PEGI marks which rate games for different ages. And it's a traffic light system, so you have 3 and 7, which is advisory, and they're green, and then you have 12, and that's the change in July. That's now sort of legally binding, so a shop's not allowed to sell a PEGI 12 game to anyone under 12. So you have 12 and 16 in orange, and then finally you have 18 rated games in red.
And as you say, it's now a criminal offence to sell knowingly to somebody under 12.
Yes.
And you can be fined and even jailed, I think, for that, can you?
Yeah, and it's beholden to the shopkeepers sort of due diligence in their training to make sure that their staff are checking that they're selling games to the appropriate people.
And the games industry is backing this, by and large?
Yes, actually, and I work with UKI, the government body for the games industry, on a website called Ask About Games, and that offers more advice about what's in those games beyond just the PEGI ratings themselves, so sort of why a game has a particular age on it.
And there's also extra guidance, I think, on the content sometimes as well.
Yeah, that's right. If you've got a video game box, if you turn it over on the back, there'll be a further set of symbols that talk about the violence, language, drugs, online content and other things in the game. And again, that shows you why a particular game has received a particular age rating.
Andy, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Blogs as Geek Dad. He was there from the Greenbelt Festival near Cheltenham.